God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the 26th day of October, 2008, and you are listening to our Sunday evening broadcast. The message tonight from our missionary to Brazil, Brother Tom Brewer, God's Plan for Missions. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are at in the world listening to our broadcast, even in Brazil, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thank you again for listening.
Good evening. I'm glad to get to be here this evening. I'm really glad to get to be here. You know, Cindy and I rolled in a little bit late. Even though we're here from the Oklahoma, our home church is over here in Oklahoma City, we live where the roads are fast. And today we had to come here from Missouri side, you know. And we saw how many miles it is and we just came, but wow, you know. It took longer than it was supposed to. And, you know, bad gets to worse. We pulled up across the street and parked, and I told Cindy, we're in a big rush to get in the building here. And I said, do you know where my Bible is? She said, yes, it's in your computer case. And my first thought was, I wonder how she got it in there. And I said, where's yours? She said, it's in there too. I said, something's wrong here, because things don't fit in the computer case when the computer's in there. Guess what? We're going back to Missouri tomorrow. Yep, we're going back to Missouri tomorrow. But praise the Lord, maybe we won't be in such a big hurry this time. You know, we've been in this missionary business about 30 years now. We've been in Brazil for 28. And I'll tell you what, we could write a big old book with missionary experiences. I'll tell you, being late to get to the church is one of them that, that's terrible. I heard my pastor say one time from the pulpit, I've been in a hurry and didn't even know where I was going. I thought that was so funny. I understood. I really understood. I've been in a hurry and didn't even know where I was going. Open your Bibles with me, if you would. Let's start this evening in Matthew chapter 28. In Matthew chapter 28. Thank you so much, Pastor, for having us here. I would like to ask for prayer. My wife and I are here in the U.S. For me to go to the doctor. And I already went, and he said there's nothing he can do for me. I have a back problem, and so I would ask you to pray for me, if you would. He said I need to learn to live with it. I need to change lifestyle and try to find some kind of medicine that'll make it not hurt. So you pray for us, if you would, okay? I'm going to read tonight in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, the Great Commission. I'd like to preach on missions tonight. Missions is something that's very dear to my heart, being a missionary. So we'll read here where Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Gracious Father, we ask that you'd be with us now, that we might get Father out of the hurry mode and the out of sync mode, dear Heavenly Father, and focus tonight on thy word. Dear Lord God, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you for this church, their support and prayer for so many years. And now, dear Heavenly Father, from thy word, we pray tonight that you might bless them and feed them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The Great Commission. The Great Commission. I can remember many years ago. Do you mind if I take my coat off? No problem. Okay. We've been in a hurry and get all worked up. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now certainly this is not a passage that I could open tonight and preach to you, teach from this passage, probably anything that you haven't heard before. God would have us to go to all nations. Tonight I want to show the Great Commission again. I want you to see the Great Commission with me in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. We have the same commission, but the Lord has put it in a different wording here for us. And I really like to read the Great Commission here out of Acts chapter 1, if you'd see verse 8 with me. The Lord Jesus Christ, on that same day as He was being ready to ascend up into the heavens, and He told His disciples, He told His church who was standing there with Him, in verse 8, He says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now do you see, that's the Great Commission again. It's a little bit different wording, but He includes here again, all nations, to teach all nations. What I want to show you here first in verse 1, He says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." Now what that is the very instant, the instant that we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. You know, we don't need to look for a second blessing. I say that because I've been teaching our young people in Brazil. I've been showing them doctrines, false doctrines of other churches and other denominations. We don't need to pray for a second blessing because, listen, when we get saved, God gives us, He seals within us the Holy Spirit right then and there. That's what salvation is. If we don't receive the Holy Spirit when we pray for salvation, then we're not saved. And so He says, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Now listen here tonight, Central Baptist Church, the Bible, God says right here, the Bible states right here that when we get saved, we receive power. Now I want to ask you something. Do you feel powerful tonight? Do you understand that we are powerful just because we're saved? Someone says, power to do what? Well, this very verse shows us what power we have. He says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." That's the power that God has given each and every one of us. You see, Cindy and I teach and practice, confrontational soul winning. Now what that means is, we can't just simply go out and say, "We'd like to invite you to come to our church. We'd like to invite you to come to our church. Would you come and visit us?" When Cindy and I got saved some 35 years ago over here in Oklahoma City, you know what? Some folks came to our home. We had bought a home and somebody gave them our address. They started coming by our home and they started asking us, "Would you come and visit our church?" And we said, "Yes." But we didn't go. Maybe you've been through that. Maybe you've been to someone's home on visitation and you've invited people to come to church and they never came. Has anybody had that experience before? Okay. Most all of us who've been out on the streets visiting have had that experience. And you know, that went on for about 6 months. They would come by and visit with us and "Would you come and visit us?" And we'd say yes. And you know, we had every intention of going when we said yes. I didn't think I was lying, but you know how it is when Sunday morning rolls around and you're not, you're certainly not saved and you're not serving the Lord. Doesn't mean a whole lot, does it? Finally, though, after about 6 months, one of the members of our home church came by and he confronted me. He said, "Are you a sinner?" I gave a big laugh like almost everyone does today. And I say, "Yeah, everybody's a sinner." That excuses it, see, because everybody's a sinner. And so he asked me, he said, "If you died tonight, are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven?" And I said, "Yes." Knowing in my heart that I was lying through my teeth when I said it. But you know what? That confrontation got us to the very next service to find out what salvation really is. That's the way the Lord saved us. And so God says here that, but ye shall receive power, the power to witness after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And he says, and ye shall be witnesses. He didn't say, so why don't you witness? He said, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. God has given us in his great commission, all of us who are saved. Look what that says. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. Now I have preached this very word, this very verse in a way that really got me in trouble. At one time I had a preacher call my home pastor and say, we can't support that boy, he doesn't believe right. Now here's what happened. You see, I like to show the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. There was the church. There were the disciples. And God gave His Great Commission to the local church. Same thing right here. But you know what I see right here? I see when Jesus gave His commission in verse 8 of Acts chapter 1, it's kind of a personal thing. And the reason I say that is this. God doesn't save churches. He saves souls. He saves individuals. But listen, the Great Commission is given to God's local church. But the local church is made up of individual members who are saved and baptized. Now listen to this. If you want to cripple your church, just don't do your part. If you want to cripple your church, I saw a maybe you saw it too on the news just yesterday or day before. An 8-year-old boy over in Iraq or Iran, I don't remember, he had stolen something. And so his sentence at 8 years old, they held his arm on the ground and they had a car to run over and crush his arm. So he can never use that arm again. They're thinking he can never steal again. His punishment was to crush his arm. Well, you see, he becomes a cripple. That member of his body, not doing its part, he'll always be a cripple. Do you understand? When we get saved and we're baptized into the local church, we do have a responsibility to the body of Christ. We have a responsibility to this church that God has made us a member of. And listen, our responsibility through that church to that church is a personal responsibility, but the Great Commission is given to the body of believers. We don't want to see crippled churches, do we? The Lord says, after we get saved, He says, I'm going to give you the power to be witnesses unto me. And then He tells us where we should be witnesses. Now listen, what's really great about this is what God tells us in the rest of this verse applies to each and every one of us, not just some of us. He says, ye shall be witnesses to me, he says, in Jerusalem. Let me say that was their hometown. And in Judea and in Samaria. Let's say those are like states, okay, on either side of where they lived. And then he goes and he says, the horizon is left to the uttermost part of the earth. Now listen to this. This Great Commission is given to every soul that is a saved member of a local New Testament church. This Great Commission is to the local New Testament church. And each one of us as members, we can't say, we shouldn't say, it's not right to say, yeah, preacher, go out and win those souls. It's not right to say, okay, staff members, be witnesses. No, each one of us who are saved have the power and we have the commission as we are members of this local New Testament church to go out and do our part. Because otherwise, this local body will be a cripple. To the uttermost part of the earth. Well, here's the question. Maybe you're sitting there tonight and thinking, wow, I am saved and I am a baptized member of this church. I am a member of this church. And I see that this is the Great Commission, but how could I, you know, how could I go to Jerusalem? Well, Jerusalem's easy. That's hometown, okay? That's your neighbors. That's the people you work with. That's your school mates. But then he says, that we need. It's a responsibility for each one of us as members, okay? And so he says we should also be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and he says to the uttermost part of the earth. Somebody might say, well, now I have to go to work. How could I be a member in all those places? Let me tell you something. God never gives us a command that's impossible for us to do, to complete, to obey. And so, I'd like for us to look at that plan that makes it possible for each and every member of this church to be a witness in Jerusalem, Ponca City, in Judea, Samaria, Texas, Nebraska, Kansas, Missouri, to the uttermost part of the earth, Africa, Brazil, Europe, the Russian or ex-Russian countries. How can you and I be faithful to do God's will, to be witnesses to the uttermost part of the earth? Well, listen, we'll find that answer in Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, we find a local New Testament church that ought to be the pattern for every local New Testament church. Okay? Like your local New Testament church, the only difference we ought to be able to find in a New Testament, local New Testament church, in a New Testament church here on the pages of Scripture, and a local New Testament church of today, listen to this, ought to be simply the name of the church. This is our pattern, okay? Now look here, in verse 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. So we find in this church the names of prophets and teachers, pastors and associate pastors. We find these men, listen, as they ministered, as the members of this local New Testament church in Antioch, as they ministered, in verse 2, to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Okay, step number one in God's plan. He says, I don't want everyone to go. Only my called and separated missionary should go. I've been asked a lot of times in the past 30 years, I've been asked, Brother Tom, how did you decide to be a missionary? I tell you what, I didn't decide to be a missionary. I had decided to be a mechanic on trucks over here in Oklahoma City. But God called myself and called my dear wife. He called us out of that local New Testament church. He called us out of that body and he said, like Saul and Barnabas, I'll have you go. That's the first step. God says, I would only have those go whom I separate and whom I call. First step. Now I'm going to read some more. Look at this. And when they had fasted. A lot of pronouns in these next two verses. Look here. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now when we sort out those pronouns, here's what the verse says. And when they, the members of the church, had fasted and prayed and laid, the people of this church had laid their hands on them, they sent them, the missionaries, out. They sent Paul and Barnabas out. Okay? And so being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. So here's what we find. That the local church and the Holy Ghost send forth these missionaries. Part number two of the plan. God says, I will call those whom I want to go, and then I want all the others to send them out. Finance them, if you would. You see, here's the thing. We go to work for the Lord in Brazil, and we're working for you. Maybe there's somebody new in this congregation, and perhaps you don't know that the Central Baptist Church finances us every month for the past 29 years. This church started supporting us before we ever even got to the field. Okay, here's the deal then. We work for you. I tell people when I'm preaching and teaching this missionary principle in our home church there in Brazil, you know, I tell people, I built this church building. But you know, it's not me that always drives all the nails and puts all the boards in place. I hire people to help me. You know, we have a crew. And when we all get through, I say, yep, built that church right there. Now, is that right to say? I think it is. You know, we pay them. They came and said, have you got a job for us? And we say, sure, we do. And so we put up this building. Maybe your boss would say the same thing. You know, he may talk about what he has done in his business. You say, wait a minute, I've been the one out here doing the work. That's what you say as we're winning souls there on the field. Because we work together, because we work God's plan. He says, I'll call some and I want the others to send. And then we all say, we have won souls in Brazil. Oh yes, oh yes. God's records in heaven show that you win souls in Brazil. You who are participating, I'll use that word, participating in the missions program of your local New Testament church. All the missionaries, not just Brazil, all your missionaries are winning souls in so many countries, and God's putting them on your account. Isn't that great? So we work as a team. We work as a team. Well, I want to show you here something else. I want to show you here something else. Just before we get through, I'd like to turn on over to Philippians, okay? Philippians chapter 4. I really like to see this. Philippians chapter 4 is the whole book of Philippians is maybe closer to our hearts now than it was 28 years ago. The reason I say that is missionary Paul has been on the field now for all his life. My wife, recently had a birthday, and we had an anniversary of being in Brazil, and she told me that she's been more than half her life in Brazil now, you know, since we went over there. That's what we find in Philippians chapter 4. We find a missionary who's been on the field. Now, his field changes, okay? His field has changed. You know, Paul was a missionary to the world. And now his mission field is a prison cell in Philippians. What do you think? Instead of Paul saying, oh, here I am in prison, what am I going to do? Paul has said, I can preach as long as I want to these guys. Nobody's going home. You see, he counted it as a new mission field. And so here he is on the mission field, and he's writing this letter. The Philippians is a letter that Paul is writing to one of his supporting churches. And I'm going to go way over here in chapter 4 to verse 10. Would you go there with me? He's writing a church to his churches, and right here close to the end of the letter he says, but, in verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Now, for some reason or other, for some time, this supporting church of Philippi was not able to support Paul. That happens in our ministry. You know, churches can really go through hard times sometimes. The change of a pastor, the change of economy, and everybody in that area loses their job and they move away somewhere else. You see, there's all kinds of reasons. Maybe they couldn't support Paul because he was in prison. Maybe there was a time they couldn't get their support to him, the things they wanted him to have. I don't know all the reasons, but Paul says, praise the Lord, you're supporting me again. See verse 10, he says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were all so careful. It wasn't that they didn't want to, but he said they lacked opportunity for some reason. And he says, not that I speak in respect of want, For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Oh, what a wonderful thing. You know, I don't know if you folks know it or not, but there's an economic crisis around. Have you noticed that? How could you help but notice? That's all anybody wants to talk about. Paul said, the crisis doesn't make any difference in my ministry. Now let me tell you something. In the past, let me say about 4 years, we lost about 75% of our support simply through the exchange because of economy. Our churches are giving us more than ever, but when we go to trade it into Brazilian money, we get some 75% less buying power. Now listen, we had to change some ways, okay? I'll be honest with you, for some 24 years, we lived in a third world country and we lived like kings. Can you imagine going to the grocery store and no matter what you want, you just get it? Because you know when you get to the cash register, it's not going to be hardly any expense at all. They don't have much peanut butter in Brazil. So when we'd go to the grocery store and see peanut butter, we just got it all. That was easy. It's not that way today. You know, when we lived in Oklahoma, we would go to the grocery store with a pen and a paper and a calculator and buy groceries. You ever done that before? We're doing that in Brazil now. Changing our lifestyle, you see? We've seen missionaries go home because they can't live like they used to. Can't live the high lifestyle that they're accustomed to, so they go back. Paul wasn't that way. And I want to tell you, Cindy and I aren't that way. We're figuring out ways that we're going to get to, you know, if this economic crisis gets worse than it is, we're figuring out ways we can just stay right there and serve the Lord. Paul said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Oh, that we could all learn that, to be content with the state that God has put us in. Look in verse 12. He says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Brings a whole new meaning to verse 13, doesn't it? I can do all things. I can be rich or I can be poor, Lord, whatever you'd have me to do. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You see, some people like to use that verse and say, I can do anything through Christ. What he's really showing us is, no matter what our state, we can glorify his name. We can witness. We can do the work that he's called us to. And so in verse 14, he says, notwithstanding, ye have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Did you know that when you look the word up and study the word communicate in the dictionary, it means to give? Yeah. Communicate means to give. And so this church communicated with his need. You see? We need to learn to communicate. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. His affliction, okay, he's in prison, he has different needs, and this church has communicated with his affliction. In verse 15, he says, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. You know, when he went to Macedonia, he had one supporting church. That's what he says. One supporting church, this church at Philippi that he's writing to. But down there where he says concerning giving and receiving, I'll be quite honest with you, I know missionaries who think that the giving-receiving process is the church does the giving and the missionary does the receiving. But that's not what that means. When we want to learn what that means, we can go into the Word of God and we'll find out that when we give, we receive. That's the grace of giving. When we give, we receive. And so he said, you're the only church that communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving. When we give to the Lord's work, we receive the rewards from the Lord. He says in verse 16, for even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. He says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. When Cindy and I went out on deputation, our whole frame of mind when we preached in churches, just like we're doing here tonight, was different. Okay? Listen. We were looking for support. We needed support. We needed to go to the field. And we preached. We talked about our needs. And listen, our interest was, I wonder if they're going to take us on. I wonder if that church will start supporting us. But you know what? We've grown in the Lord. And now when we come to churches and we preach about giving and receiving, we have a different desire. We have the desire that Paul has. We'd like to see all the people involved, because listen, that's where the rewards come from in heaven. Do you realize that when we're not involved in the Lord's work, when we get to heaven, there's going to be a dry well. There won't be any rewards for us, because the rewards, the Lord tells us, are for bringing in others. They're for supporting missionaries. Listen, when you support a missionary and he wins a soul, when you support a missionary and he starts a church, that's your church and those are your souls and those are your rewards in heaven. And that's our desire, that we could see all people blessed as we are. Isn't that something? Paul says, okay, over here in, let me see, I'm going to back up here. He says, let me find my verse. He says in verse... Okay, I'm going to find it. Just a moment. I need to find this. Okay. Notwithstanding, verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. He's saying, praise the Lord. But in verse 18, he says, but I have all. Now here's what he's saying. You can help with our mission if you want to, but I have all. You can bless yourselves if you want to, but Paul says, I have all. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received, listen, of Epaphroditus. He was a messenger. Now you can imagine that today, when Tom and Cindy Brewer receive support from the Central Baptist Church, it comes in the form of a check. Oh, that's easy. You know, you put it in the mailbox. They open it in the mailbox over there at our home church, and they deposit it in our account. Isn't that easy? But back in Paul's time, it wasn't quite that easy. They didn't have the U.S. mail. Can you imagine deciding which brother would go across the world and take the offering to Paul? Wouldn't that be great? Well, that's who Epaphroditus was, okay? He came out of that church and he was sent by the church with Paul's offerings. You know, what did he bring? Wasn't dollars like I get, I bet. Yeah, let's see what he brought. He says... But I have all in abound, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Here's what they sent. An odor of a sweet smell. Must have been some brute cologne in there, you reckon? Huh? That's what he said. He said Epaphroditus brought him the odor of a sweet smell. He says, a sacrifice. So it wasn't brute. When we want to understand that verse, we go back into Leviticus and we find where God taught the children of Israel how they should give offerings, how they should make sacrifice to Him, okay? It wasn't like we do in the offering plate. Back then, God told them what animals to use and how to prepare the animals. They were burnt sacrifices and they put it on the altar and they burned them. Do you know why God asked for burnt sacrifices? God is spirit. He doesn't eat. God is spirit. He had them burn those burnt sacrifices because he said when that meat is on the altar burning, the smell goes up to heaven, and to him it's an odor of a sweet smell. Have any of you had the pleasure of going out to charcoal meat, maybe on the 4th of July? Have you done that? Have you noticed how good when you put that meat that's prepared out on the charcoal, have you noticed how good that smells? It makes you where you can't hardly wait. And so God has said here, Paul is saying, so when you give, when Epaphroditus brought those things, they were an odor of a sweet smell to God. When we give to missions, that act goes up to God as an odor of a sweet smell. That sacrifice. Look what God says. Look what Paul says here. He says, but I have all in abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. You know what I have found out over the years? That when people give to the missions program in their local New Testament church, it's not because they have an excess of money. When people give to the missions program, it's not because they've paid all their bills and, oh, look, we have some left over. Let's give it to the church for missionaries. What we found is that when people give to the missions program in their church, it's like a sacrifice. We give what might have been used for shoes for the children. We give what might have been used for something for our wife or something for ourselves. But instead, we, listen to this, sacrificially give. And that sacrificial giving to the missions program goes up to God. That act goes up to God as an odor of a sweet smell. That sacrificial giving. But you know what? To say sacrificial giving is kind of like an oxymoron. Huh? Listen to this. I mean, how can you give sacrificially to God? Because verse 19 shows us something. Paul says here, God inspired him to write in verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You see, God says, when we give, even though we may feel it's sacrificial giving, God promises, listen, we call it faith promise, don't we? God promises, I will take care of all your needs according to my riches. Now, what does God have that I need? Well, I'm just going to be right down on a human level, okay? God says, mine are the cattle on 1,000 hills. Does anybody here like to eat beef? Huh? You like hamburgers? You like steak? God says, I'm going to take care of all your needs according to my riches in glory. The Lord says, listen to this, He says, His is the gold and silver in every mine. And listen, I being a child of God, God being the owner of all the gold and silver, listen, He can divert some of it my way when He wants to. And He says, that's what I'm going to do when you're taking care of my work. The great commission that He gave us. He said, I'll call those that I want to go, and all the rest get their share by participating in Faith Promise missions. Isn't that great? I love to teach that lesson. When we start our churches in Brazil, did you know that Brazil is a third world country? Do you know that with this new economic thing, things have changed the value? Not to Brazilians, to me. And so when I tell you that the minimum wage in Brazil, the majority of Brazilians earn minimum wage. But minimum wage there is per month. And right now, that's about $200 a month. It's what they live on. Now that has always been $100 a month until this crisis thing, okay? That's always been $100 a month. And so when we go to the third world nations and we win souls, you know what? We remember the Great Commission. He says, teaching them all things that I have commanded you. We've been in our present work now for some 12 years. It's really interesting. It's really interesting to see those families who received the Lord Jesus Christ. They used to come dressed up in their best blue jeans and tennis shoes and t-shirt. Come walking down the street in the rain, muddy, non-paved streets, in the rain and in the dust. Today they come to church, in their dress slacks, in their dress shoes, in their social shirt, driving their cars right up to the front door. Same people say, wow, how could that happen to people making $150 a month in 12 short years? Let me tell you, we taught them about giving to God. And God says to them, just as He says to us, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for the time You've given us here together. We thank You, dear Heavenly Father, for Thy Word. We thank You, dear Lord God, for Your plan for world evangelization. Dear Heavenly Father, we see that each one of us are to be witnesses, first in Jerusalem, here where we live, and then reach out to the uttermost part of the earth. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, that we might minister here at home tonight. Perhaps there's someone in this auditorium tonight, dear Heavenly Father, who is not saved. We are to go to our Jerusalem. And so we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that Thy Holy Spirit might tonight bring someone to Thee. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that those who are saved here tonight are a part of this local New Testament church, so that they might participate in Your plan of going and giving. Dear Lord God in heaven, perhaps there's someone in this auditorium tonight that You would call, that You would separate for Your work of missions. Dear Lord God, we know not how or with whom Thy Holy Spirit might work tonight. But we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that ears and hearts would be attentive. In Jesus' name.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with our missionary to Brazil, Brother Tom Brewer. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, I hope you'll stop by First and Grand and visit us in the historic downtown Ponca Theater Building. Give us a chance to get to know you. Until that time, God bless you, have a great week, and thank you again for listening.